Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here live. It's Sunday morning in London around 9 o'clock, and welcome to everyone. Welcome to you, Lizzie. Welcome to me. Welcome to all of you who are with us live in our Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join. You can just search for Turning Towards Life, or maybe you're listening on our podcast later, or you found your way to turningtowards.life. the website where all the videos of these conversations are, or who knows how you're listening to us, but whichever way you're here, you're so welcome to be here. And this is the 194th week, Lizzie, of our practice that got born out of our commitment together to Third Space and everything we're up to in Third Space. And I'm feeling unreasonably, or maybe very reasonably, joyful both at doing this and being with you, and also having the opportunity to read and talk about this fabulous piece of writing that you've brought to us this morning.
When you were talking, Justin, just then, I was realizing that I feel like this is born out of a commitment to lots of bigger things, but I also think it's born out of a commitment to talk to each other. I mean, it sounds so simple, but yeah. I realized the moment on the train that we often talk about, where we thought, my gosh, this is not okay that it's just us being in the conversation. I think a commitment got born in me then. And so, you know, there's certain moments in your life where you just go, oh my gosh, that's one I'm going to remember. Somehow that train moment is kind of etched in my memory, which I didn't know it was until it doesn't go away. And I keep thinking of it, and I know where we were sitting and what the configuration was and what it looked like outside. And so it felt like a kind of one of those moments that has made so many things happen, which is amazing.
Before you go on, I'll just say, yes, it really strikes me that what we did that day was we made a commitment that we stepped into, and that commitments become giant things once you're in them. Once a commitment is articulated and then acted upon, worlds open. So it's really a thing to be in this world of hundreds of weeks of conversation with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for saying it that way.
And also, Justin, what I'm recognizing is that there's a, because of this shared commitment and the ongoingness of the exchange that we're in, all the other things that we do are massively impacted by it. Like, I could just kind of have this as something that happens on the side or something, but I've been feeling recently what world it opens between us when we're doing this, but also when we're doing other things, which I kind of hadn't been onto before. But it is it's quite a thing. I'm really grateful. So our source for this week is extremely exciting to me. And we had an exchange, Justin, didn't we, that you said if I hadn't have bought it, you would have bought it. So we're both kind of chomping at the bit about this one. And so this is a poem by the lovely Kate Van Aken, who was one of our PCC graduates last weekend. So the PCC is the professional coaching course that you and I and many other people around the world, Justin, host on a regular basis, a whole year of learning how to coach and be in relationship with other people for in service of worlds opening, like you're saying, different worlds opening, deeper worlds opening maybe. And this poem was written inside that process that we were all in, of the kind of culmination of the year. And Kate read this to us as part of a kind of checkout that we did. And as she read it, I could feel myself thinking, oh my goodness, this is such a beautiful invitation for us all. And I was immediately completely appreciative of it. So we have it as a gift from Kate to us. And so the reason that the text says PCCY, that we should just explain, is that each of the PCCs has a letter after it so that we can distinguish one from the other. And I think this should be in dedication of those students on PCCY. I think we also dedicated last week's one to the students on PCCY. And I don't think it hurts to dedicate many, many things to them. And I think it's a beautiful thing that this was written inside of that process and that it's going to be served back to them in this conversation. And I know Kate's very happy that we've brought her poem here to see what it brings between us. And as usual, what we do is that we read the source, each of us, and then we will just see what happens, which worlds get opened by the reading of it and the feeling of it from one another and through our own words. And I just want to say thank you for Kate being this kind of open and sensitive receptor of life, that she would produce these words in service of what was happening in all of our experiences last weekend. So here we go. It's called Where Love Flows Through. And she says it's a prayer or an invocation inspired by the PCCY community. Here we go. May this be a space of welcome, a space where you are seen, unmasked, and bathed in loving attention, mine and your own. May we discover in our time together what is peeking out from the shadows, yearning to be noticed. May our space be big enough to hold both the stories you tell about yourself and the truth of your existence. May I see beyond these stories to the unique, wondrous beauty of your soul, and may I shine a light on your beauty and your truth while honouring and dignifying all parts of you. May I stand tall in bringing you my observations and offerings, starting close in, inviting you two steps further along the tightrope than you might have gone alone. May this be a space where love flows through and where our hearts can speak to each other freely.
It's quite wonderful hearing you read that, Lizzie. Of course, I'm going to read it myself. And I want to say before I read it, first of all, thank you to Kate for catching very beautifully and gracefully what this whole endeavor, Lizzie, that you and I call coaching is. And I don't know if the same thing happens to you, but there are many things in the world that are called coaching, many disciplines and many practices and many orientations and many sets of values. And often when people ask me who've not come across our work in Third Space or our own individual practices before, what do? It takes me a while to find the way in to describe what this is about, to distinguish it from something else. So I want to say back the thing that you said, and then I want to bring Kate's words. So the thing that you said that I thought was so clear was that the professional coaching course is a year dedicated to being able to step into relationship with other human beings and to be up to the project of deepening worlds, of inviting deeper worlds together. So that's just an excellent way of talking about what this is. And then here come Kate's words, which take us a step further. And what I found as I was listening to you, Lizzie, was imagining again afresh the feel of being in this space of relationship with others that Kate is laying out for us. And so I'm making that invitation to you and to me and to everyone who's with us to see what it's like to feel the call of Kate's words here. Because for many of us, there aren't so many spaces in life that are this way, and being reminded that they can be this way, I think really matters. So here's Kate's poem, Where Love Flows Through. May this be a space of welcome, a space where you are seen, unmasked, and bathed in loving attention, mine and your own. May we discover in our time together what is peeking out from the shadows, yearning to be noticed. May our space be big enough to hold both the stories you tell about yourself and the truth of your existence. May I see beyond those stories to the unique, wondrous beauty of your soul And may I shine a light on your beauty and your truth, while honoring and dignifying all parts of you. May I stand tall in bringing you my observations and offerings, starting close in, inviting you two steps further along the tightrope that you may have gone alone. May this be a space where love flows through and where our hearts can speak to each other freely.
So Justin, as you were reading that, I was noticing that each paragraph is kind of like a wish fulfilled for me. Like as you were reading, I was going, yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. And I can feel my own. So you invited us all to listen to the call of this. And the call of it is so, so strong for me. And what I love about the way Kate's done this is that each paragraph, even on its own, might just be enough. And then there's more, and then there's more, and then there's more. And I know that the way that this was written, because we were there too, Justin, was that each of these paragraphs was kind of inspired by one of Kate's colleagues' work, what they were doing with other people when we were observing each other and looking in our way that we do, in our peer way, peer to peer, what our work is. And so I also feel like it's a kind of testament to what was seen during the time we were together. It's not some kind of ideal. It really is a kind of, this is what happened. It was a witnessing of many things. And in the witnessing, this collection of words got born. So for me, it's kind of anchored in a wishful callness, but also an actual experience that happened, which is quite extraordinary, because lots of time I think I'm hoping for lots of things. And many times my hopes are excellent to have, but they don't normally materialize into actual things. And yet this is a collection of hopes that I have for the world. And this is also manifest, this is also real. And this came from conversations and relationship that was actually happening in the room, as it were. So I feel really met by the words, but also that somehow what we're doing is meeting me too. So I'm kind of shocked and miraculized. I don't know if that's a word. I feel in receipt of this incredible hope meeting reality that feels really rare and really, really important. And thanks to Kate, those kind of, this articulation is coming together about the work that we do, is that it's a hopefulness that's actually real as well.
Did you just say miraculized?
I think so, or miraculized.
Miraculized, such an excellent word. Well, it's such an important word, because so I'm really moved by what you said, Lizzie, that Kate's words come from having participated in a field of inquiry and practice and study with a community for a year, but they come most immediately from the experience of having watched and seen and been recipient of genuine conversations from other people in Kate's group as they got up to the work of coaching other people and being coached with us and all of that. And it's, so it's a, like you say, it's a reflection on something actual rather than, so often I think one of the reasons it's very difficult for many of us to be hopeful is because we can imagine possibilities for ourselves that we don't see brought into being. And then against the background of the sort of narratives of our time about, which are very pernicious about people being, about us primarily being consumers and being objects and being machines and all of those kind of things, when our hopes don't get realized, we very easily fall back on stories about ourselves that are profoundly undignifying and are diminishing. So it's really something to, it's one of the things I love about the PCC, is that what it produces after everyone's efforts and endeavors over the course of a year is that really extraordinary, loving, powerful, truthful, beautiful things happen between people. And so Kate's been witness to this and then has been bold enough to give it words. And it really feels like this matters to me, not just the possibility that gets born there, but also these truthful words, because I think that one of the things, and we've talked about this in one way or another many, many times over the course of these years we've been in this conversation, Lizzie, that one of the things that makes life so difficult is having inaccurate stories about ourselves of all different kinds. And there's a whole collection of inaccurate narratives about what it is to be me or to be a person that essentially render us powerless, loveless, empty, flat, shallow. We so easily treat ourselves and ultimately other people in the end as if we're not beautiful, deep, unique, precious, sacred beings. We fall back on much, much more diminished stories about ourselves. And those stories get reinforced every time we didn't turn in a piece of work at school that met the standards that were being called for, or every time we didn't behave in the way that our parents expected us to, or every time we saw we were the recipient of certain kinds of marketing that are around us in the world, or we lose contact with our own goodness and our own depth and our own capacity to bring ourselves to the world. And here Kate is laying out not only an observation but a commitment, which is it's possible to see ourselves and one another in a different way. And the line that is sort of, sometimes when we read something comes out really strong first for me, right at the start, where Kate says, may this be a space of welcome where you're seen unmasked and bathed in loving attention. I noticed as I read that for most of my life, maybe until 15 or 16 years ago, the first time I ever really entered into a conversation that was like the way that Kate described. If you had said to me that I'll be with you and there'll be a chance for unmasking, in other words, setting aside the sort of way that you present yourself to the world so that you can find something more true, what I would have been certain of is what I'm going to find is disgusting and horrifying, and you're going to shame me, and I'm going to feel like squished down to nothing. So I'd better never, ever, ever do that. But here's a whole other possibility, which is that when we set aside the masks that we've learned to wear for all kinds of very, very good reason, what we can discover is something beautiful and alive and precious and ready to be brought into the world. That, just being able to say that, to be able to make that promise and then to hold to it, such a gift for many of us who've never ever had the opportunity to feel that way about our own lives and our own possibility.
Yeah. And I think so many times in our lives, the maskedness is just the way we're moving through the world. And so then to have someone see beyond that place is quite shocking. And yet this year's training is kind of, that's what it's about. So instead of interacting with people on the mask level, we're all learning all the time how to see people, you know, how to look round, look beyond, to the good intention, to the essence of someone. And it's also a really brave piece of work to be up to this in the world, to believe in something more than we've been trained to believe in so far, to believe in something beyond a story that someone's telling about themselves, to ask questions and be present in a kind of way that something other than the story also gets revealed for us to be in receipt of. And of course, everyone's exuding and bringing what's beyond their story anyway, because it's not really a choice that we have as human beings, whether you bring yourself or not. But it takes one who sees to see it, to see what's already there, that's always there, and to not be hoodwinked by the masks or the way we're managing our image or how we're perceived in the world, to see beyond that and make a space that's big enough for that to be here and to feel, for that part, that maskedness, to feel safe, but also for the beyond to be named, for the unnameable to be named, for the kind of secret yearning to be revealed, that I'm seen for the thing I want to be seen for, not for the thing I'm putting in front of me as my stall of items, but actually to be seen for the person behind the stall who's actually got it already and who's put their good heart into producing whatever is here. And so this other thing that I love about this is that Kate talks about the peeking outness, something peeking out from the shadows, and the world's, all of us are peeking out, and we are often flying a little flag of hope to be seen somehow. And we can see that in all of our resentments. We can see that in all of the ways that we don't like the way that the world is. Right there is our peeking out from the shadows. Our essence is kind of flying a flag to be seen all the time. But unless we're onto what that is in us and others, we are going to stay in the same old masked ball dance, where our masks are dancing with each other's masks. And I feel so much more and more deepened in my conviction about seeingness and essence and what's here in spite of all of the things that happen, like our originalness, our gift, if you like, the gift that we are, the wondrous beauty of our souls, which is Kate's language, that a light is being shone on that in this work, and it's possible for a light to be shone on it. I just feel so much more confirmed in that with every year that goes by, just in every one of these conversations that we have, every where we're shining a light on each other, and then we have our program that we have that just keeps doing this, keeps showing us that this is true, that it works, that people's lives have a different world brought into them, a different world made available, where different kind of action is possible, different kind of thinking is possible, different kind of feeling is possible than the ones that have gone before that make things really, really difficult and that bring such suffering. But there is a way that this seeingness and this space creation of safety and light, seeing the light in each other, that serves us in so many ways. And that we don't have to be some kind of a scholar or a enlightened person or someone who's so masterful and excellent that they have all the kind of accolades in the world. Like, this is a normal human endeavor. This isn't like you have to be the best or something. This is just what normal humans do for each other. This is just a normal practice for a human to do because you're human, not because of some other thing that's all worldly or something. And so it brings me hope that this is an every person thing, that this isn't far away from us, this isn't impossible, this is a normal thing to do as a human, and we can do this in ordinary ways, whether we're training doing this because we want to do it more deeply, or whether we're just in the world going to the shops and walking down the street and getting on a train and being in a conversation with another person. This is always possible to do this. So this is a story that comes from the professional coaching course that we do, but it belongs to the world. This is a world story, not a story or something. This is just ordinary. We can do this for each other. This is what it means to be a person. This is a gift that we're bestowed. So this is what we can do.
Lizzie, I want to say back to you a couple of things that you said in my own way, by way of honouring the importance of them. So that this that Kate is writing about is ordinary feels to me so moving. And as I was reading something yesterday, I came across, I might bring it back for another week of this project, something that the writer Robert McFarlane, whose work I wrote, I love, wrote in one of his books, where he says, we've, in the world which we live in these days, we've made mastery, we've set mastery as the highest goal instead of mystery. And to set mastery as the highest goal means that we learn to manipulate things really well, which is important. We know we need to be able to reach into the world and manipulate things. It's a really important discipline, but to make it the most important thing means that we forget that seeing one another, being loving and truthful and welcoming to one another's goodness, and calling one another forward into the world so that our gifts can get expressed. Yes, it's something we can practice because a lot of us have unlearned the skills of doing this, but it's a really ordinary thing to do, is to see beyond the, and again, I thought this was such helpful language. You said, we all have a market stall that we've set out in front of us. It was such a great way of speaking. Of course we do. We came into the world and we started to meet people, and we realized that if we were going to get along in the world, we were going to have to set some things out in front of us that people were going to see, because it felt too difficult, or at that time we wouldn't be welcomed for all the things that are behind the market stall. So here's my market stall. And then we spend a lot of our lives interacting market stall to market stall, because that's what everyone is up to. And that makes lots of sense. But it misses something that we really long for. And it misses also something really important, which is that there are gifts that have not yet been laid out front. And like you said, Lizzie, that actually the work of being, creating enough safety with one another that we can look at what's on the market stall and start to, imagining pushing the oranges and the apples and the, you know, bananas aside, so that it's possible to feel into and talk about and make contact with what's behind. But that is a really ordinary human capacity. We are made for seeing one another. We are made for the hopeful act of bringing one another forward into the world. We are made, I've said this a few times, I think, over these weeks, I think we're made for truthfulness. Yeah. I think whenever we're not truthful, it costs us. And one of the things that has made all of this difficult is not that we don't have the skills to do it. It's that we've lived in stories that tell us never, ever, ever reveal what's behind the market stall, because you'll be shamed and outcast if you do, and also because what's behind is poisonous. Yeah. So then we develop skillful ways to try and keep all of that under wraps. But when somebody is able to do what Kate says and create safety to tell the stories, to bring into view the stories that you tell about yourself, and to see beyond the stories to something wondrous and beautiful behind, and to let someone else shine their light on our beauty and our truth, and honouring us and honouring them. And then we can get into a conversation about, and what might be possible now? What's calling here? Those are really ordinary, everyday human ways of interacting with one another that most of us didn't get very much help in attending to. We got help in one part of our lives, but we didn't get help in this part of our lives. And I think it's so important, this thing that you say, Lizzie, about it being ordinary really matters, because I know in the world, in the wider world of this something called coaching, in which the PCC, the professional coaching course, lives, there are narratives about that which are all along the mastery, life mastery. Mm-hmm. You'll become a master of your life. And I mean, even the language is difficult to say because it's so gendered, and but you'll be somehow the job is to be the one who has your whole life together and is somehow masterful of life. And what we're talking about here is something in the really the opposite direction, which is becoming more and more open and ordinary to one another. realizing that there are always things that we can learn to do more skillfully, and that really helps. But the project of life, if we make the project of life mastery, like master coach or master person or master human, or that cuts us off from the very thing that Kate is talking about in these words, which is the ordinary beauty and possibility of being a human who steps into relationship and makes it safe to be in relationship with one another, and then steps into the world from there.
Yeah.
We don't need all this grandeur. It needs us to find out how to settle into our own lives and into our relationships with another, and to live right in our own ever incompleteness and messiness, and the incompleteness and messiness of other people, and not have that be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, the line that sticks out for me is the honouring and dignifying of all parts of you. Because there's a part of me that's deeply unmasterful. And if that's not welcome here, there's a big part of me that's not welcome. There's a part of me that's deeply half-baked. Is that welcome here, or do I have to hide that part of myself? So I feel like it's, when you were speaking, Justin, it's just another invitation for me into what can I deepen into so that really all parts of you are welcome. So that when you come forth with something, I don't think, oh gosh, we need to turn that into some mastery because that's not very pretty, or that's not going to be helpful. It feels like such a profound place to stand, to genuinely being really welcoming of whatever it is that you want to say, what you have to say that's truthful for you right now, which might mean I'm a mess. It might mean I'm doing amazingly with this or the other. It could mean I'm falling apart. It could mean I'm so joyful I don't know what to do with myself. Can you help me? Like, it could mean like the full spectrum of whatever there is. And who do I need to be genuine in what Kate says? You know, who do I need to be to sit and say hello to anything you bring, and to let it be here in a space rather than me then trying to wrangle it into something else or turn it into something that would be acceptable by the world, or turn it into something that, or move it away so that we don't have to talk about it. It really matters that we're always asking how to be more able to dignify every part of every other human being. And I just think this goes for everything. For me at the moment, this just so goes for what it is to be a parent in the world as well. And that's what I love about our work, is that, yes, we're doing this coaching thing, but anyone who goes through the PCC will say it's a hugely personal journey. It's not I'm going to have this profession and I'm going to do this for my profession. It's like, it's us. It really is us. And so it applies to everything. You know, I would, knowing now what I do about the professional coaching course, I would do it in service of my marriage. I would do it in service of my children. I would do it in service of my work colleagues. I would do it in service of my friendships. I would do it in service of my neighbors. I would do it in service of whatever work I want to do in the world. Yes, it has the professional nature to it. Like, we can apply this to the work we want to do with our clients, and we can make it our living. Yes. And it's not limited to that. And it feels like it's a big invitation to the whole of life. And I feel so grateful that this has been articulated in this way by Kate, so that we can be in this conversation about what this is and what it isn't. Such a gift. And I want this conversation to be, I want it to continue, you know, to be saying what this is feels really, really important to me in this moment.
Gosh, what a way of talking about this body of work, Lizzie. The last thing that I have in mind, so I'm just, my eyes are being drawn to the near the end of Kate's writing, where she says, against the background of everything that you've just said, the kind of welcome and safety making and dignifying and loving of others that it's possible to be, I'm going to slightly make a small change to Kate's writing here, so it can, I can sort of make it wide and big. May we stand tall in bringing one another our observations and offerings, starting close in and inviting one another two steps further along the tightrope than we may have gone alone. But that the meeting and then the taking one another's hands and stepping into life one or two steps further along this path that we've been walking, that for me is also what this is because there are such gifts to be brought to the world. Can we see one another and then can we be the ones who call those gifts forward so that they do actually get brought?
Mm.
That for me is the other promise of this commitment, really. And it matters because in our marriages, with our children, with our neighbours, with our work colleagues, with our clients, if that's what we do in the world, in our communities, there are things to be done that really matter. So how about instead of trying to build masterful lives, like we become gurus or something, how about, it seems to me that what Kate is inviting us into is the everyday work of stepping in together and addressing, taking care of what there is to be taken care of more fully. Turning towards, to quote back the title of this whole podcast, never turning towards one another and towards life. Ever more fully, because that's what we're here to do. We are here to take exquisite care of who and what's around us.
Mm. Thank you for saying all that, Justin. And thank you, Kate, for bringing this. So wonderful. One of the sources as well, Justin, that I think we should just keep bringing again and again and keep talking and see what comes out next time. We're going to have to bring some things back around again, keep talking. Mm. Thank you, Justin, for this really important conversation. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, everybody on that particular PCC that brought this about, the wondrousness of that group of humans. Thank you to each of you for bringing yourself so fully in your unmaskedness and letting yourself be seen. This is a wonderful conversation. And thank you, Justin, for this being the nature of our existence with one another as well. It really is. And I'm really grateful for that. And we are going to be back next week at the same time with some other kind of gem from the world of humanness. And thank you for being with us, everybody. Thank you for being in this community. And as always, if you have any questions, any comments, anything, you can email us at
hello@turningtowards.life.
Hello@turningtowards.life.
And also, if you want to find out about the PCC, the professional coaching course, you can email us there, but you can also email, this is the info one, info@thirdspacecoaching.com.
Or is it not wearethirdspace.org?
That will work as well.
We've got loads of emails. We've got a whole menu.
Hello@turningtowards.life to reach Lizzie and Justin. Info@thirdspacecoaching.com for now.
Okay.
If you want to find out more about this whole project we've been talking about as well.
And we have a beautiful website. Well, we have one beautiful website for this, which is turningtowards.life. And then we have wearethirdspace.org if you want to find out about our work more widely. And the cool thing is that hello@turningtowards.life got born because of this. We got an email address because we wanted to give you an opportunity to email us as well as message us on Facebook or whatever. Because if you're listening to the podcast, you don't really have a place. You could leave a review or something, which would be great. But we would like it if you could email us directly and say hello and bring any comments you have or want to just say hi. We would be really happy for that as well. So anyway, we're going to say goodbye. And thank you. And we will be seeing you next week at 9 o'clock on Sunday as usual. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.